Austin 316 says I just whipped your... there and call yourself the gorilla, yet you hee-haw out here like a jackass.
What?
I said shut up. You can kiss my ass.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
What?
And that's the bottom line, cause Stone Cold sets up.
Welcome to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. This week is episode 79, Stone Cold vs. The Rock, from WrestleMania X7. March through April of 2001 is what we're covering here. I'm Mike Prue, along with JV as always. JV, what's going on? Are you ready for WrestleMania?
Oh, I'm ready, man. This is one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time.
Yeah.
Top to bottom, you know, bottom to top.
Absolutely. It's one of my all-time favorites. And whenever we get to cover WrestleMania, I feel like it's a milestone. Just like the WWF, when they reach WrestleMania, it's like, yeah, we made it. That's how I feel whenever we get to another WrestleMania. Because it does take time. It's not like we're flying by a year. You know, it takes us months to get to the next year. So here we are, making it through another WrestleMania
season. And wrestling
season.
Is a TV show. So at its heart, this is almost... this is really their season finale.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I always look at WrestleMania.
I do too. It's like the culmination of what's been going on. Even though if it's a TV show, it really starts to pick up at Royal Rumble time. So if it's like Breaking Bad or if it's like Better Call Saul,
it's like episode 7.
Right, like Royal Rumble. Right, shit really starts to get intense right at the end.
7 and 8.
Yeah.
The episodes are a little longer. You know?
Right.
It's like, oh, you got that 90-minute episode. Nice.
And more people on the internet are talking about what might happen in the last few episodes.
I figured it out, too. Those 90-minute episodes that you get in like a traditional TV show are those in-between pay-per-views you get leading up to WrestleMania.
Right, those are the big ones. So there it is. We're at the season finale of WWF in their 2000-2001 season. So here we are. I think JV's mic was just moving for a second there, but... Well, let's get into it. Before we get into this, though, we do have our plugs, of course. If you want to follow us on Twitter, follow us at BottomLineCast. And you can follow JV at John Van Damage. And you can follow me, Mike Pru, at MPRU83. Also, check us out on YouTube. Follow our channel there for all our podcasts if you like to listen on YouTube. And then you can also join our Facebook group, Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. Also, we're in the t-shirt game, the merchandise game. So go to teespring.com, search Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, or just type in this URL, teespring.com/bottom-line-wrestling-cast. It's hyphen, right? Not dash. Dash would be a blank space, right?
Or am I saying it wrong? I call it a hyphen.
Yeah.
But when someone says dash, I think hyphen.
All right, so you get it. All right, hyphen or dash, whatever your terminology that you use for it, that's what it is. So it's in between every letter.
Bottom like a dash, line, it wouldn't be a space. You would just say space.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Underscore is an underscore.
Yeah. All right. So there it is. Teespring.com. T-shirts, sweatshirts, even fanny packs. So check it out. Get your bottom line merchandise.
Fanny pack's sweet looking, too.
It is.
Perfect. It looks great.
Badass. I might get one. I probably wouldn't wear it, but I'd get one.
It's got a skull on it. I got a fanny pack I put on my bike.
Oh, that works.
Shit, so, hey, you know, if you're a cyclist out there, get yourself a bottom line wrestling cast.
Yeah, maybe if I'm going jogging, I'll put it around my waist and put my phone in instead of having it in my pocket. Because if it's in your pocket, then your phone's like going like super high up when your knee kicks up.
And it's... Yeah, going on vacation soon. Fanny packs are great when you're on vacation, and nothing beats a bottom line wrestling cast fanny pack.
There it is. And that's the bottom line because JV said so. All right, so last week we were on episode 78, and that was I Need to Beat You, and that's the big thing that came out of that was the face-to-face, one-on-one interview with The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin with JR, and Stone Cold made it clear that I need to beat you. I need it more than anything. There can be only one. There can be only one champion. So that's where we left off. And we're going to be headed into the go-home week. So we're going to have a go-home Raw episode, go-home SmackDown episode, and then we'll get to WrestleMania, and we'll talk about the big main event match. And also with that said, is we're not going to go into a move-by-move detail on this episode, because we have a special treat for you coming up this weekend, and that is a special edition watch-along that JV and I did for this match. So if you want the play-by-play and you want our reaction to everything that happens, check that out this weekend on Saturday. It'll be the special watch-along. All right, so we're going to get into it now. We're going to start with Raw 409 from March 26, 2001. This is live from Cleveland, Ohio. And before we even get into the Austin segments, I do have to point out right away that this is a huge night in WWF history, not only because it is the go-home show leading to WrestleMania 17, arguably the best WrestleMania, but it is also the night that Raw and Nitro will have a simulcast. Vince McMahon will be on Nitro, Shane McMahon on Nitro, and all of that. So we'll get a little bit into that in the second half of the show when we kind of go through a rundown of things that led up to WrestleMania and then talk about WrestleMania. But there it is. This is the night. Crazy. Competition is over at this point. WCW's done. ECW closed the doors not too long ago. So now it's one man standing, and that's the WWF. And WrestleMania is going to be their celebration of being the only one left. It must have been like a fucking party to them. Like, yeah, man, we're the only ones now, and it's WrestleMania. Like, what timing is that?
You know, just didn't he only pay like $1 million or something ridiculously small for all the property?
I don't know the exact price, but I know it was small compared to, you know, what it became worth.
What they were worth, yeah, yeah, and what some of their contracts were.
Right.
But that's a perfect deal for him.
Right. Well, they didn't. That's the thing is, he didn't take the contracts for the people.
Yeah. Said, yeah, yeah, that was the best move.
Yeah. Screw them. Why would he be paying Hogan and Goldberg, Kevin Nash, Hogan,
Scott Hall?
Like, nah, Ted Turner can keep paying them while they sit home, and I'll just take the videotapes and the name and all the rights to things like fucking Super Brawl or whatever, you know, that bullshit.
And he'll just, you know, pay to get them back eventually, which he does, all of them, separately,
yep,
for a better deal.
Exactly. You know, we just have to wait a year for it, and we have to deal with the shitty people that he took on their small contracts.
Yeah.
For that invasion angle, which we'll be getting to really soon.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into it now here. And we're going to start off with a backstage segment between Stone Cold and The Rock. It's very brief, so just take a quick listen to it. We'll be right back.
Excuse The Rock one second. Just so we're clear on this, you don't want a team with The Rock. The Rock doesn't want a team with you. Our match against The Undertaker and Kane tonight, just as long as we know, you don't mess with the Rock won't mess with you.
But now, hold on. What you're saying is cool with me, but when the match is over, all bets are off. Is that understood?
You're damn right it is. Good.
All right, so it was announced at the top of the show that there's going to be a tag team match. Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock are going to be teaming up to go up against Undertaker Kane. So backstage there, you heard that The Rock makes it clear that he doesn't want a team with Austin. And he warns him, don't mess with me. You know, if you mess with me, then The Rock's going to mess with you. So The Rock tries to walk off, then Austin cuts him off. Because what you're saying is cool with me, but when the match is over, all bets are off. Is that understood? And Rock's like, you're damn right it is. So even just that right there, it's like, all right, they got a team together. There's going to be some tension there, of course. But we know once that match is over, some shit's going to go down between the two of them. So good shit there. And then we get to that main event match, Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, along with Deborah still at this point, versus The Undertaker and Kane, the Brothers of Destruction. And the match kicks off at 1 hour, 34 minutes. And it's going to go the duration to the end of the show, which is 1 hour, 41 minutes. So Austin comes out, and Austin has some new gear that he's debuting before WrestleMania. You think you'd pull this out at WrestleMania, but he can't wait. Like many of us can't wait when we get something in the mail. Fuck it, I'm using it now.
Yeah.
Austin gets his new vest in the mail. He's like, shit, I'm wearing this. And it's the 101 proof on the back with the skull and the BMF the in the skull. Front.
Yeah.
Which he already had BMF in the front, but 101 proof hadn't been on the back of his vest yet.
Not my favorite vest. But no. Good nonetheless.
Yeah. New. So, hey, got to have something new for WrestleMania season.
It's Mania season.
Right.
Get that merch money.
So not only is it like the season finale of a series, but it also could be equated to it's like the first day of school, too. You got to have some new gear at WrestleMania. You know, you can't come to school the first day with shit that you wore last year. If you're going to WrestleMania, you got to have some new shit. So that's why he's got a new vest here. So here we go. We get the match started off. Kane has a cheap shot right at The Rock, right at the beginning of the match. Austin gets tagged in, has a back and forth with Taker for a little bit. The Rock and Kane are fighting outside of the ring at this point. Earl's the referee, of course, because it's the main event. And Earl is giving his attention to the competitors outside of the ring instead of the legal men that are inside of the ring. So, you know, what's new there? Not the worst thing that he does, but hey, pay attention to the guys in the ring. So we get to the finish. Austin goes for the stunner on Taker. Taker pushes him off into The Rock, who has gotten up from the ring apron. He gets knocked off of the ring apron. So The Rock gets bounced off, so building tension there. Inadvertently, Austin caused The Rock to get another bump off the ring. Taker chokeslams Austin. Now Triple H runs down to the ring with a steel chair. And mind you, Triple H and The Undertaker are feuding at this point. They have a huge rivalry going on that we'll talk about in the second half of the show. Triple H nails Taker with a steel chair. And Taker is setting up for the last ride on Austin. Earl sees nothing, of course, because he's too concerned with people that are not in the ring. Austin goes for the cover. Earl turns around. Then Earl makes the three count. I always love like the sixth sense that Earl has. Like, okay, time to turn around. Time to turn around and make the count. I'm just going to stop looking at these people now and turn around. So there he goes. He makes the three count. Austin and The Rock win the match. 1 hour, 38 minutes in. But we know, based on that earlier segment, it's not over yet. So, in the post-match, Taker's pissed. He runs after Triple H for screwing him there. Austin calls for his beers. He's got his Busch Lights this time. And Austin opens a few of them. The Rock slides in right behind Austin. Austin pours four beers down. He cracks open four. It's freaking crazy. He takes four beers and then chugs them.
You know? Yeah, Busch Lights, they're cheap, so they're a little bit more lenient with the Busch Lights than they are the Budweisers and the Coors and
the Millers.
Miller Lights, yeah. Fucking Busch Lights, man. Those are tough. That's what my grandfather used to drink.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he used to drink Busch Light and Natural Ice.
Natty
like
ice.
What college kids drink.
Right.
My grandfather had a college kid's taste for alcohol. Still does. That's what he still drinks.
It's funny, like, because you probably didn't realize it until you were college age, and then you see him drinking that, you're like, oh, shit, he's drinking college beer.
Yeah, like, he drinks cheap beer, Miller High Life. I thought the gold can meant something. It says champagne on it. Yeah. The fuck? Champagne and beers.
It's funny what you think is special when you're young and you don't know any better, and then you grow up and be like, oh, that's the trash. that's the shits right there. No wonder why they were buying it. It's cheap. All right, so Austin downs those beers. Then The Rock is right behind him, so Austin turns around. The Rock kicks him in the gut and nails Austin with the stunner. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. So we have the first act of trying to say, I can beat you with your own move. And he nails him with the stunner. Nobody else has done that before to Austin. The Rock calls for beers now. Another little dig at Austin. The Rock opens one of the beers, drinks it, then leaves one right near Austin's head.
Love it. Beautiful.
It was awesome.
That's that little touch.
And that's what he did, really, too.
Yeah.
Austin had done that before. Left the beer right at his head. So it's payback for it right there. The Rock drops the beer there. And The Rock is going to toast as he goes up to the ramp. As Austin is laid out, he gives him a little toast and drinks his beer. The show goes off. That would have been perfect, but You got SmackDown still in the way. That's what sucks about SmackDown. You had this great ending on Raw. It's like, all right, WrestleMania's coming.
Yeah.
Hit stop.
Bump the brakes.
SmackDown's coming up.
Fucking speed bump.
Right. All right, so we move on to that SmackDown, and it's SmackDown 83 from March 29th, 2001, taped on March 27th, 2001, and it's from Detroit, Michigan. So we start off with Commissioner Regal is going to warn The Rock, Deborah, and Stone Cold. So let me get into that. So Regal first warns The Rock to remain in his locker room throughout the night because Mr. McMahon has given strict orders that he wants nothing to happen, nothing to compromise this main event coming up at WrestleMania. So he wants them to stay away from each other, stay in the back, don't fuck around tonight. The Rock responds by asking Regal, are you the guy? Aren't you the guy that drank pee last week? Which Chris Jericho had pissed in Regal's tea.
Tea, yeah.
Yeah. So
while he was in his office.
Right. So The Rock is just looking at him like, you're going to tell me what to do? You just drink piss. So The Rock gives Regal the third degree, but eventually he just says, you know what? No problem. He'll stay in his locker room. And then Regal questions Deborah later about why Austin hasn't arrived at the arena yet. Which, based on what Mr. McMahon wants and what Regal said to The Rock about staying in his locker room, William Regal should be happy that Austin hasn't arrived and not give a shit about it. Right? Like, oh, good. Thank God he didn't show up because we didn't want any issues. But no, they don't think of that. So Deborah says, basically, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why he's not here. So Regal puts her on notice that Mr. McMahon said if anything happens to Austin or The Rock to jeopardize WrestleMania, that she's going to be held responsible. Deborah says it's not fair, and she walks off. Okay, so you can see right there that they're looking for an out, like, to get rid of Deborah. Like, all right, if we can finagle something here, we can say that Deborah's not going to be in this match anymore.
Yeah. So. Oh, they just never should have done it. They wouldn't have been in this position.
Right.
And all the warning signs were there early, and they're just like, no, let's roll with this.
Right. It was
keep going.
It was 2 weeks ago, or 2.5 weeks ago, and now here they are, the final show before WrestleMania, and it's all about trying to find a way to get rid of Deborah being at WrestleMania. And, you know, all the other shit they could have done to help build the match a little bit more, this is what they have to go with. So anyway, Austin arrives late to the building. Regal questions Austin, who the hell do you think you are showing up late? Austin doesn't even say anything. He just smirks and walks off, which is a great response. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. Without having to say, shut the fuck up, dude. You just walk. All right, so we get a promo from Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's going to go out to the ring. He's pissed off. And the first part of it is he's going to call out The Rock. Austin says he has something to say, so bring your little carcass to the ring. I'm not asking. I'm telling. I love when he hits anything. Anytime he says little, it's the best.
Yeah, it is. It's so it's so like degrading.
Right. It's just one little, you know, I don't know. It's just.
It knocks you down a couple
right.
steps.
Right. Adds yeah. a little it's punctuation to the.
Yeah, it's belittling.
Right. So Mr. McMahon ends up coming out instead of The Rock. So Austin's like, I said I wanted The Rock, not a jackass. So McMahon says he had a couple of bad days. And what he means by that is that he's had the issue with WCW. He thought he bought it, but then Shane McMahon took the deal. And Vince McMahon got screwed out of it. And then he's having these issues now with this main event here. So not a good time for Vince, so he's pissed off. So Vince wants Austin to get the hell out of the ring, and Austin just looks at him and just punches him right in the... It looks like he punches him in the throat, but...
Yeah, it does. It's like a throat shot.
Yeah, it's just like... Bing! But I guess it's supposed to be the jaw, because that's what they say later, but it looked like a throat shot, like some fucking yeah. karate movie. Pyong!
Little low. Who was that? Pat Tanaka?
Orient Express. All right, so the promo is going to continue on when The Rock comes out, and we'll play that portion of it. So take a listen. It's actually one of the lengthier ones. So take a listen, sit back and enjoy it, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
I'm
glad you come out here, Rock, because I got something to get off my chest. Last Monday night, you did something to Stone Cold Steve Austin ain't never been done before. You gave Stone Cold Steve Austin a Stone Cold Stunner. And not only that, when you finished giving me the stunner, you proceeded to drink Stone Cold Steve Austin's beer. And I know you're in my space right now. You might want to back up. You might not believe me when I say this, Rock, and I don't give a rat if you do or not anyway, but I respect what you did, because like I said, ain't nobody ever did that to Stone Cold Steve Austin before. Give me a damn beer. Give me one more beer. Since you like drinking beer so much all of a sudden, I thought I might make a little toast to the Rock. Here's to your health. Here's to your happiness. And here's to you, Rock, walking down that aisle at WrestleMania as the WWF champion for the very last time.
No! That's either a toast or a challenge. It's one or the other.
Well, that was a fine toast, but the Rock has a toast of his own. Here's to your health. Here's to your happiness. And here's to your ass getting whooped at WrestleMania.
Blows! Austin on the rock! Mr. McMahon! Mr. McMahon can't believe it! He's coming for
problem. A major problem.
All right, so Austin is pissed about The Rock giving himself, giving Austin a stunner. It's like, nobody's done that before. So he's pissed off about that. And he's also pissed off at the fact that The Rock is drinking his beers. Which is funny because that's something he goes on to say multiple times. Like, drink my beers. So Austin is standing there, and The Rock's like right there as he's saying this. So Austin's like, you're in my space right now. You might want to back up. Now, Austin says he respects The Rock. He respects what he did because nobody's ever done that before. And then Austin says, give me a damn beer. Calls for a beer. Beer gets thrown into the ring. He says, give me one more damn beer. Another beer comes flying in. Austin cracks the beers open, hands one to The Rock. Since you like drinking beer all of a sudden, I thought I'd like to give a little toast to The Rock. So even that's a little jab too. Like, oh, you like drinking beer now? Like drinking my beers?
Yeah. Taking my gimmick?
Yeah. Says, here's to your health. Here's to your happiness. Here's to you, Rock. Walk into the ring at WrestleMania as the WWF champion for the very last time. And then Austin does his cheers, but he smashes the can into The Rock's can. So he smashes the cans together. Beer goes everywhere, of course. And The Rock looks at him, dicked off, as he should be, takes the mic, says The Rock has a toast of his own. Here's to your health. Here's to your happiness. Here's to your ass getting whooped at WrestleMania. Then The Rock does the same thing. He smashes his can into Austin. Austin looks. He's pissed. Brawling begins. They just start going at it. You know? And this is the awesome part that we get in the My Way video. It's like, this is like crescendo. Like, oh, fuck, here it goes. This time this I'll let it all out. Yeah, so.
And the song really kicks in.
Right.
It's, yeah, a perfectly timed part, which we will mention, I believe, in the watch along spoiler.
Yeah, and we're actually going to play it on this episode, too.
See? Look at that.
So, yeah. But actually, the watch along one, we get really hyped up for that. So anyway, the brawl begins there. McMahon calls for the refs to break it up. All the refs come. All the wrestlers come. And Austin and The Rock brawl into the crowd. They finally get separated in the locker room. Fucking awesome segment. So yes. They did find a good way to even to make SmackDown a good go-home show is to have this segment in there. And I like it because they're being semi-cordial. But in a, how'd you put it? A passive aggressive way.
Yeah, really? Yeah, yes, that's the word. Yep.
Like, they're not doing anything, but they're just kind of like, yeah, fuck you. I'm not trying to control themselves. And then they just couldn't handle themselves. And they just started going at it. So that was awesome. And I'm so glad they didn't do what they usually been doing, is that they can't touch each other until WrestleMania. That bullshit gimmick that they've been doing for like the past year in many of Austin's matches. So glad.
Well, with The Rock?
Not with The Rock, but just Austin matches in general.
Because they do start off like that, like post Rumble.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they did.
And then Austin strikes first.
Yeah. But he had that kind of stipulation with McMahon, where he couldn't touch McMahon until.
Oh yeah. Well, that was a stipulation. All right, I know what you're saying now.
Yeah.
The Austin and Rock one was almost supposed to be like this mutual respect they have for each other.
Right. Whereas it wasn't like a rule that they
had. And then they were like, ah, fuck this. It's the editor. We can't do that.
Yeah. All right, so at this point now, Austin and The Rock, they've had blows. Now, McMahon had told Regal that if something happens between the two of them, Deborah's going to be held responsible. So Vince tells Deborah that she's relieved of her duties. She's relieved of her responsibilities of managing The Rock. Yes, thank goodness. She's out of the picture now. So great. And I still think, I said it last week, I still think Austin is behind this. I really think Austin was like, get her out of this. Don't tell her about it, but get her out of here some way. Because I don't want her messing up this match, this moment for me. Who knows? Could be wrong.
Like, yeah, I think it absolutely would have ruined this match.
Right.
If their original idea was to like get Deborah involved, and if ever crossed their mind that Deborah was going to cost Austin, you know, the win at WrestleMania, that person should be fired.
She just doesn't even have the chops or the talent to do anything important in that match. It would have just made it look like shit. All right, so anyway, we get this last-minute interview as Austin is leaving the building. Kevin Kelly runs up to Austin. So take a quick listen to that, and we'll be right back.
This whole setup has been nothing but a bunch of from the start. Vince McMahon makes my wife The Rock's manager. The Rock gives Stone Cold Steve Austin a stutter. The Rock drinks Stone Cold Steve Austin's beer. That's more bottom line is, Kelly. And look at me, you I done told everybody the bottom line is Stone Cold Steve Austin needs to be the World Wrestling Federation champion.
All right, so as Austin is leaving the building, he's basically telling Kevin Kelly that it's bullshit. It's been bullshit from the start. Deborah's being named The Rock's manager. The Rock stunning him. The Rock drinking my beers. But he says, the bottom line is going to be that Stone Cold Steve Austin needs to be the World Wrestling Federation champion, you stupid son of a bitch. And then he pauses and he looks down the hallway and he has like this crazy look on his face, like a crazy smile. And then he takes his bag, his gym bag, that he's leaving the building with, and he just chucks it off to the side. And he just walks off into the distance, and that's it. We're off to WrestleMania. Austin doesn't give a shit about his luggage anymore. He's just...
See, that was a little anticlimactic. Fuck my clothes.
Yeah, fuck my shit. I'm throwing it away.
I got my vest. I got my 101 proof vest. I'm good.
Yeah, he's like...
Actually, I think he has his t-shirt on in this segment, though.
Right.
He runs away.
Right, but he's... That's a good point to bring up because at WrestleMania 15, he forgot his vest and he had to
wear
to wear a t-shirt. So he's thinking, yeah, fuck it. My vest is in my other luggage. I don't need this shit. I know my vest is safe for this WrestleMania.
This is what happened last time.
All right. So that brings us now to the big show. It's WrestleMania X7. I hate saying a big show now because there is a big show and he sucks.
Yeah. Well, don't say it. No one's got a gun to your head.
I know, but it just comes out. Big yourself. Show. All right. The granddaddy of them all.
Yeah. Call it the
show of shows.
The main event.
Yeah, the big one.
Oh, the pay-per-view.
The pay-per-view.
Yeah, the big one. Yeah. The big one.
All right, we're at the big one now. It's WrestleMania
X7. Cream
of the
crop.
What we've all been waiting for. The season finale. WrestleMania 17.
Yeah, there we go.
X7. April 1st, 2001, it's April Fool's Day. Maybe some people, by the end of this, will think it's an April Fool's Day joke. But we are live from Houston, Texas for this show.
Such a shitty dad joke right there.
No, but it works with what happens, you know. Whatever.
I guess.
Whatever. Well, that's the point of a dad joke, I guess.
Yeah, it is. That's a good dad joke.
It's to be lame.
How hard do you crunch your teeth when someone says it?
I generally appreciate them all.
It's a guy that says dad jokes would appreciate a good dad joke.
Right. All right, so arguably, as we've said, this is one of the best WrestleMania shows of all time. It's probably on most people's top list. The card is great. I mean, we'll go through the card later in this episode. It's stacked. There's a whole lot of great shit. It's the Attitude Era. It's the culmination of the Attitude Era, really. Really the end of the Attitude Era. This is it. This is the final chapter. This is it. And it's a nice exclamation point at the end of that book of the Attitude Era. So hell of a show. It has great rewatchability. I can go back and watch a few of these matches and just enjoy it. The commentary is great. Paul Heyman, Jim Ross. Paul Heyman's hilarious on commentary. Just sneaking little jabs in at JR whenever he can. And JR not really knowing how to respond back to Paul Heyman because he's not some chump. He knows that if he does, Paul Heyman will have something ready right away to say right
it's
back.
Like, don't poke the bear. Like, not a battle he'll win.
Right.
Paul Heyman's too witty.
You're right. So the show just in general is great. This is the peak of WWF, really. You know, pop culture wise, in 2001, the whole world knows WWF now at this point. So just like the world knew who they were in 86, 87, you know, with WrestleMania 1 in 85 and then up to WrestleMania 3, you know, Hulkamania was running wild. They were big on MTV. It was a big pop culture thing. And then it kind of faded off for a while. And then when the Attitude Era kicked off, it started to get popular. But here by 2001, these wrestlers are on all different talk shows. Some of them are in movies at this point. So it's just something totally different than wrestling had ever seen at this point. And this is their celebration, as I said, of being the sole surviving company, WWF, taking out ECW, taking out WCW. And this is their celebration here. And they're at Reliant Stadium. It looks fucking awesome. The Astrodome. And just great atmosphere. Hell of a show. But we get now to our main event. And just prior to the main event, we get the last video package, the final version of it. It actually ran during SmackDown. So they had that beer can smashing thing when they started the brawl. While that was happening, the producers in the back were making that video. And they played it at the end of SmackDown. And it's the same one that they use here at WrestleMania. So just to give you some ambiance and some feeling before we get into this match, take a listen to that, and we'll be right back with the main event.
Stone Cold Steve Austin will be in the main event at WrestleMania.
Oh, hell yeah!
Special, you do. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it when you laugh at me, look down on me, and walk around on me.
This is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
In the interest of fairness, did I inform you that officially, as of now, you are managing The Rock?
Austin's wife's managing The Rock? What the hell is that?
I never asked for Deborah to be my manager, never wanted Deborah to be my manager, but the fact of the matter is this, is she's not my responsibility. She's not my wife. She's your wife.
Angle's gonna break Deborah's ankle, for God's sakes! Wait a minute, there's a rattlesnake!
You never, ever, ever put your hands on another man's wife! Austin warned him!
Let's just go ahead and take Deborah out of the equation. Bam, she's a non-factor. The fact is, Rock, you got the WWF title,
and I want it.
The Brahma Bull is furious. He's talking on you.
Set him up. He wants that rock bottom. Here it comes.
He's going for the rock bottom angle from behind.
All hell is broken loose.
Here it comes. Rock bottom. Rock bottom to angle. Look at Austin. Look at Austin. Stop it.
Retaliate! There could be hell to pay for Austin!
That's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
The Rock isn't waiting until WrestleMania.
Your bald-headed, double-studded candy ass belongs to The Rock.
Wait a minute! The Rock just gave the Stone Cold Stunner! The Stone Cold Steve Austin!
How personal can this get?
Can you imagine what it's gonna be like at WrestleMania?
Just one more fight and I'll be history. Yes, I will straight up leave your shit, and you'll be the one who's left missing me. Yeah!
This time I'ma let it all come out. This time I'ma stand up and shout. I'ma do things my way. It's my way or the highway. This time I'ma let it all come out. This time I'ma stand up and shout.
Drop a sweat, every drop of blood, every ounce of energy I have. You are gonna get the absolute best of The Rock at WrestleMania. I'm need to beat you, Rock. I need it more than anything that you can ever imagine.
There can be only one World Wrestling Federation champion, and that will be Rock.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, with all due respect.
All right. If you're like me, like JV, you had goosebumps just now. And they're probably just wearing off right now. Once you heard my voice, the goosebumps went away.
Oh, man. Hope it's not another dad joke.
Well, that was a dad joke in a sense. All right. So just want to give you a fair warning again, just like we did at the top of the show. We do have a watch along. Okay, so don't expect running commentary of everything that happened in this match. We're gonna hit on all the talking points and main things that happened. But if you want what our reaction is to minute by minute, second by second, you know, check out our watch along. It's, you know, great solid content. JV and I pride ourselves on our watch alongs. We have a lot of experience doing it. We've done a lot for this show.
I hang our hats on that.
Yeah. We do a lot for Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. If you go back in our archives, you see many matches that we've done watch along style. And we also do the Extreme ECW Live Cast, which is a show that's all watch along format. So we've really gotten the hang of it, and we love doing it. So check that out. It's another hour of content, you know, for free. You know, we don't charge, we don't do anything. We're giving you extra content there. So if you want to watch the match again, if you want to just hear what we have to say in detail, check it out. It's coming out this Saturday. All right, so with that said, let's hit on the talking points here for this match. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock. And it kicks off at 3 hours, 8 minutes, and 56 seconds. And it goes till the end of the show, basically, 3 hours, 45 minutes. Right at the beginning of the match, Howard Finkel is going to announce that it's a no DQ stipulation that was just added. JR didn't even have no idea. He's like, what do you mean? No DQ. What? So things changed right there. And probably to allow for just more leeway in the match. You know, the fact that they just announced it at this point makes me wonder how soon they knew. Because you would think they would need time to plan out the match. Because much of what happens in this match is all stuff that wouldn't be allowed in a traditional match. Just about everything is, you need no DQ rules. It's almost like they did plan all this, but they forgot to announce that it's no DQ.
Like, well, my theory is that they saw, I think it's one of two things. Actually, I think it's this. I think it's because Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit had such a great match. And then you were going to expect these guys to have a traditional wrestling match. And I think it would have went, I don't think it would have worked. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think at that point, the day of, you know, if it was right after the...
Was their plan all along?
Yeah, I think because...
Yeah.
How long do you think they don't really have the time that during that night probably to plan this out after the Angle match.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
So they would have had
I have a very bad take there.
So they would have probably had to plan this out at least a week, say, but I think maybe they just forgot to announce that it's going to be a no DQ match. Maybe, you know, this is maybe a stretch, but possibility is that they were still concerned with getting rid of Deborah being in the match on SmackDown that they just didn't fit in the no DQ stipulation announcement in that show. So just give a heads up that it's going to be no DQ. Because you would want to advertise that, right? Like, oh shit, it's no DQ. And then just wait until the last second.
No, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. My take is a bad take.
But good point, though, because that fucking match was a great wrestling match. And,
yeah, and it's a good point, but it was a horrible take. Like, yeah. I can't even defend it. So I'm not going to try.
All right, so let's get into the match then. Here's some of the main points here. So I got, you know, Earl Hebner, he's officiating a no DQ match. Now, I don't want to hop on him too much, you know, because it's becoming basically ad nauseum that I bring up Earl Hebner. So, yeah. So some people
I think listeners are getting annoyed.
Some like, people might.
Is this a wrestling show? Is this about Snow Cold? Or
is it about Earl Hebner?
It was a 20 minutes of hating on Earl Hebner in every match. Just forget he's there.
But he has to be brought up in this match because of numerous things that happened. But you know, I don't want to go into all of it because during a watch along, you know, I'll bring the things up as they happen. But you know, just as a talking point, Earl Hebner officiating a no DQ match. What do you think's going to happen? He's going to forget that it's a no DQ match. You know, and being that it was just announced last minute, he probably didn't even realize it was no DQ because there's so many instances where he's trying to break things up that don't need to be broken up in a no DQ match. So just typical stuff there with Earl Hebner. And he finally does get the picture because much of what happens from that point on, from after like the first few minutes, is all DQ things, you know, things that would cause DQ. So anyway, they battle out to ringside. They both get busted open. So early in the match, kind of early in the match, both guys get busted open, and The Rock gets hit with the ring bell on the outside. And there was this funny moment where Rock gets hit with a ring bell, and then Earl is yelling at Austin to get back in the ring. Get back in the ring. Get back in the ring. He doesn't need to. You know, it's no DQ. But get back in the ring. Get back in the ring. And Austin turns around. And then Earl having to trips over the stairs backwards. The steel steps outside the ring. He trips over those. And that was just a funny moment for me. But while that's happening, The Rock is blading himself. And moments later, we see that The Rock is busted open from the ring bell. So just prior to that, too, when they were in the ring, Austin took off the turnbuckle pad and exposed it. So that comes back into play just moments later when Austin gets into the ring with The Rock. The Rock's all bloodied up at this point. But The Rock whips Austin into the turnbuckle corner, and he hits it. But then The Rock also has the bell and then nails Austin with the bell. And now Austin is busted open. Now, this thing seemed a little fishy. Because, not fishy, but it seemed like it could have went bad. Where, if Austin was supposed to be busted open already, from, well, Austin already bladed before the ring bell came. So if the camera angle wasn't perfect like it was, you would have already seen Austin bleeding before he got hit with the ring bell. But I guess you could argue that if he was busted open, then they could say, oh, the turnbuckle, that caused the bleeding. So it was like, it's pretty smart. It's like they set it up that way. So, all right, we're going to have that turnbuckle exposed. We're also going to have the ring bell. We want it to be the ring bell that busted you open because that's what busted open The Rock. But if the camera happens to catch you already bleeding, then on the announcers can say it was the corner post. Of the corner turnbuckle. So they gave themselves an out there, which I think is smart. Maybe I put too much thought into that, but that's what I think.
No, I mean, if you're going to think about it soup to nuts, how they would have booked that and, you know, maybe set up different scenarios in case there was a fuck up.
Right.
You know, yeah. You definitely covered that.
Yeah, it seems logical if they were thinking of
it. Yeah. You kind of hope that's the stuff they're thinking.
Right, because you don't want in the main event somebody to be bleeding when nothing happened yet. Yeah. All right, so JV, what did you think of the $1 million dream spot in the match?
It was wild because, you know.
It's a callback.
It's a callback because, A, we hadn't seen him use it since he lost to Bret Hart.
Right, at Survivor Series 96.
Yeah, and it's the first time we've seen. I mean, it's a ringmaster move, and I guess what's iconic of that is he was a true heel when he was using that move. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then kind of seeing where this match lands, it's kind of funny.
And it's what I also like about it too is that both times that he used it, it came out of desperation because he had stopped using the $1 million dream when he was no longer the ringmaster. When Ted DiBiase got sent away because of Savio Vega beating Austin in the Caribbean Strap match, that's when he stopped using the $1 million dream, started using the stunner. But in that match at Survivor Series, he couldn't beat Bret Hart, so he had to go into the old bag of tricks and do the $1 million dream because that was like his last thing he could do. And Bret Hart bounced off the turnbuckle and rolled him up and got the pin. So from that point again, Austin never used it. He's like, fuck that million-dollar dream. But here we are now, years later. He's in the same kind of situation where he's in desperation mode where, fuck, I got to use this move. I got to just try it because what else is going to work? So he puts it on and The Rock does the same thing. He flips on the turnbuckle and almost pins Austin. So we know at that point, Austin's never going to use the million-dollar dream again. You know, he's cursed by the million-dollar dream. He's cursed by the ringmaster gimmick.
Yeah.
So I like that. So that's a nice callback. And then there's another callback, and that's the sharpshooter spot, where both of them go back and forth with using the sharpshooter. And obviously it recalls WrestleMania 13, another match against Bret Hart, where Austin is all bloodied and he doesn't quit, but he passes out. Bret Hart wins. You know, we see similar imagery in this match as we did at WrestleMania 13. So it's kind of like a highlight spot of some of Austin's greatest moments in this match. So I like it. It's because we don't know how much there is left of Austin, or how much is left of The Rock, because their careers, even though they're still young, their careers are starting to go in different directions. The Rock is looking towards Hollywood already at this point, and Austin is, I mean, he's back, but he's not in the best shape. You don't know.
Yeah, we kind of know he's not in the prime of his wrestling career.
Right.
He's definitely, you know, with injuries and, you know, the tough travel schedule and everything. But really the injuries, you kind of see, you know, as a viewer, we knew like, you know, The Rock kind of looks like the new guy. He looks like the new toy for WWE.
Right. Right. It looked like it was going towards The Rock at this point.
Yeah. But even other youth coming up, you know.
Right. Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Triple H obviously is on the rise.
Yeah. Taker still Taker.
All right. So they got plenty of talent. Really,
yeah. Yep.
So cool spots there. They both go for the ropes and they both break the rope. They both break the holds of the sharpshooters. Vince McMahon comes down to the ring at this point, and here we go. Vince McMahon, the crowd's like, what the fuck's going on here? Why is he stumbling out here in his sweatpants suit? And Vince comes out there. The Rock hits the people's elbow on Austin. Vince McMahon just standing at ringside. We don't know what he's going to do. But after The Rock hits that rock bottom, I mean the people's elbow rather, Vince grabs The Rock's leg, pulls him, and breaks the count. So at that point, The Rock looks at McMahon like, what the hell is going on? And the crowd is starting to think, oh shit, is he helping Austin or does he just not want to have The Rock win? You know, we don't know what's going on at this point. So we also have the cool spot where the finishers get exchanged. So we saw that. We talked about it earlier where The Rock did the stunner to Austin. We're also going to see Austin do the rock bottom to The Rock. That was cool. And just a series of near falls. And every time there's a near fall, the crowd just stands up. Ah! Like everyone's anticipating that somebody's like, who's going to win? They don't know. It just could be anybody. That's what's great about this match. You really don't know who's going to win.
You have no idea, yeah.
You know, remind me of Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan. Because you don't know. When you first watch that match, you're like, who the hell is going to win?
Yeah, you can kind of see where each way, where the match could go. You always kind of, in these types of matches, I always wonder when it's the youth or like the new guy, which The Rock kind of still is, in my opinion. He seems like he's trending the right way.
Right.
Like if you were picking stocks and you had to put your money on Stone Cold or The Rock at this point, I'm putting my money on The Rock and I'm a Stone Cold guy.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, looking at it though, like big picture, you'd look back and you see that Austin only came back at the end of 2000. And here it is, early 2001, he won the Royal Rumble. So they want to go back to having Austin be the champion, at the very least.
Yeah, that's definitely, you could think that as well.
So even though The Rock is the big star, they're like, all right, Austin's back, let's give him the title, and then you can go get the title back off him later. Yeah, something like that. Good shit there. Nice exchange there. And you have The Rock kicking out of a chair shot, so... Oh, actually, fuck, I didn't talk about that. Stone Cold actually tells Vince McMahon to get him a chair. And this is when we start to realize, oh shit, they're in cahoots. So Vince gets in the ring with the chair. Austin is holding The Rock, and Vince nails The Rock in the head with the chair. So the crowd knows now, oh shit, Stone Cold's aligned with Vince. Possibly. We still really don't know if he is. He could just be taking the help, fuck it, because he did say, I'll do anything it takes. You know, we don't really know he's aligned, but we know he's accepting McMahon helping him out at this point. So Rock gets hit with a chair by Austin again, and Rock kicks out. And it's like, fuck, what is it going to take to beat this guy? So Austin takes the chair again and just goes berserk. He goes nuts with the steel chair and just starts...
loses his shit.
Yep. Right, just... I don't know how many times he hit him. I didn't count, but fucking seen a hell of a lot of time. You know, probably like 20 times. just going nuts on him. And
which is nuts to, you know, have the strength and endurance to swing a chair that many times.
Yeah.
You know, no, like
right at that point in the match,
to hit someone with a chair for like 5 times.
Right.
You know, fresh off the cuff, I'd be like, "Ah, oh, fuck, 5 times in a row?"
Yeah.
Got to do 15 more.
Right, imagine though too, this is like 28 minutes into the match. So, yeah. But he's on adrenaline at this point, obviously. So the thing is here, The Rock, he's kicked out of the moves, multiple moves, Austin's finisher, The Rock's finisher, his own finisher he's kicked out of. He's kicked out of getting hit with the chair. And now, you know, he looks like the champ, right? He's tough to beat. You can't beat him. But this final barrage of chair shots, that's just going to be too much for the guy, and Austin's going to cover him. 1, 2, 3 gets the win, just like that. And I like how it just ends simple like that too, like instead of trying to do another finisher and shit, just nah, he beat the shit out of him with the chair and pins him over. Austin's the champion. Crowd reaction, Davey, what do you think of the crowd reaction? Because some people say that the crowd is just all for Austin, or I don't know.
I think it was a mix, and I just think the crowd was excited to be there and experience. I think at this point, the crowd's not cheering because of who they want to root for or not root for. I think they're just, I don't know,
yeah.
They're cheering because they just saw like a pretty awesome moment. Whether you agree with the decision or not, it was memorable.
Right. I think around this point in, you know, from like around 2000 onward, I think WrestleMania, people that go to WrestleMania, they're cheering anything that's cool.
Yeah, and it's definitely an international crowd for this WrestleMania. I mean, the opening package to this WrestleMania, they do a good job, not to get off topic, but, you know, when WrestleMania 17 opens, they do like the, oh, this is WrestleMania, and they always like cover like, oh, this is where we've come as an as a federation, blah, blah, blah. And the beginning does a good job capturing the global audience and demographic.
Yeah.
Like there's just showing certain shots they take of just like these different people from, you know,
different cultures
and everything. Like there's, you got like, they show a foreign woman in like the Middle East, I'm assuming from the Middle East, she has their, you know, their dress on, and she's watching it on like a handheld TV.
Right.
Not to call it a dress. So, if, you know,
yeah.
From the Middle East, don't take offense to that. I don't know what to call
your
it.
Attire. Like attire. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, and then there's one weird part though where there's two young people sitting in the back seat of a car, like an old like 80s car.
Yeah.
And they're watching it on a TV.
Yeah. I know. And it's
like, how'd you get the fucking TV in there?
I know. The package is well meaning and it's cool because it's like, yeah, WWF's all around the world, but you're not watching WWF on fucking a regular TV without cable, without satellite. Yeah, it's just,
you know, someone watches that with their tinfoil hat on, they're going to think that's like, these are time travelers. They tell people, they'll post on Reddit. And you know.
So, yeah, the crowd reaction is mixed. I agree with you. I don't believe what some people report is that the crowd was just so into Austin that it didn't matter that he turned heel.
No, because they're cheering for Rocky at one point.
Right.
The crowd turns like 3 times.
Right. Yeah.
So, they just want to be involved. This is, like you said, this is, you know,
the beginning.
The beginning, and especially for crowd involvement. We're going to see a lot more crowd involvement from here on out in WWE forever.
Right, especially when you're dealing with two stars like The Rock and Austin. Whoever does something cool is going to get cheered.
Yes. You
know? Whoever wins is going to get cheered too, because they didn't turn on anybody. You know, even if Vince McMahon's there, they didn't turn on Austin yet. Well, maybe some people did in the crowd, but not everybody.
Right.
You know, it's just 67,000 people there. They weren't all against Austin at this point, and they weren't all for him. So anyway, we get the handshake. Vince McMahon and Stone Cold, they shake hands, they drink beer, and now it's solidified. Okay, they are aligned with each other. And Austin had said about this moment is that he was kind of getting cold feet the day of and during the match from hearing the crowd, then being at this spot in the match where he has to shake Vince McMahon's hand based on all the history, realizing, you know, that doesn't make sense to do. But based on the storyline that they came up with, is that Austin will do anything. He'll sell his soul to Satan, as JR said. And he just wants the title again. He wants to, because that means he's on top and The Rock's not on top. So he had to do whatever it was, and he wanted Vince McMahon's help here. So Austin had said in his book and in documentaries that he thought, no, man, what if I can? And it was all his idea to be heel. So he was thinking, well, maybe I can just nix this right here in the end and, you know, tell Vince as I shake his hand that we're not doing this and I'm going to stun you. And then he'll just stun him in the ring and kind of be like a situation where it's like, thanks for helping me out. Now go fuck yourself. I'm the champ. And then he's still the big star and he's not a heel. So he had cold feet on that, but he decided, well, I gotta stick to doing what we plan to do. And he knew, and on second look back, he realized that we shouldn't have done it. Now, what do you think, though? Do you think they should have done it or not done it? The heel turn.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I'll start then while you think about it.
Yeah, you go.
I like to look back at what I thought at the time. And at the time, I think differently than I did for a little while as a wrestling fan. And now differently even now as I do as a wrestling fan. At the time, I can remember thinking that it didn't really bother me much because I loved Austin anyway. So it wasn't a heel turn wasn't going to turn me against Austin at that point anyway. So while I may have thought, he's with Vince McMahon, like, what the hell are they going to do here? I didn't really think too much into what was going to happen. At that point, I was really just watching wrestling to just watch it and see what happened. You know, it wasn't until years later when I got into my 20s and when there started to be more documentaries and more books that exposed information about what was going on behind the scenes, and the documentaries, like I said, that showed what was going on behind the scenes. There's more access on the internet. I started reading into that shit, and I felt like I got into that mode of like, oh, I need now that I know how it works, I can judge how things are done. And I was like that for a little while, and that took me away from just being the wrestling fan of watching and enjoying it. And that's what I did at this WrestleMania. Just enjoyed it. Maybe thought, oh, that's weird. He's with Vince McMahon. But I wasn't thinking about everything. I wasn't thinking about the whole history of what happened before. Like, it's fresh in our mind now because we've been covering it. So it's easy for us to pick things out and why it, you know, could be stupid and not good to do. So I thought like that for a while. And then, you know, in my 20s and into my early 30s, you know, I thought the heel turn was stupid because that's kind of what I was influenced by with reading a lot of shit and watching a lot of shit that everybody crapped on it. So I kind of bought into that.
The heel turn sucked.
Yeah.
Well, of the way they did it.
Right.
I guess that's where I'm going to put my stance is I wouldn't change it, but I would change how they did it.
Right.
So I would still turn Austin heel, but I wouldn't do it this way.
Yeah, and
the way they did it.
I agree with that, and that's where I was going to get to, is that now today, I agree with the heel turn because it makes sense. You know, it freshens up his character. He's been the same thing for like 4 years at this point, three to four years, really. And it is time to freshen up and do something different. And like you said, what they did wasn't really the best thing to do.
Yeah, what they should have did is they should have held off on Shane. I figured it out. And they should have held off on Shane McMahon buying WCW over, you know, Vince McMahon, you know, that whole angle and the WCW invasion. They should have waited a year. And in the meantime, had Shane McMahon instead, as a way to get at his dad, he gets Stone Cold, and he helps Stone Cold win and turn heel.
But Shane came back as a babyface to fight Vince McMahon.
No, I know. I'm saying you don't do that.
Don't do it at all.
Yes.
Like, because that storyline is connected to the him fucking with Linda and
right.
Trish.
Don't do that.
All right.
So if you're going, because I mean, the bigger picture is you're going to turn Austin heel,
right? And they knew that for months that they were going to do.
Yeah.
That.
So I think I would have, because you got to rebook the whole thing. If you're saying you don't want him to side with McMahon, then you got to figure out another angle. Because what are you going to do? Have him like cheat to beat The Rock? I think the issue is too is people, like you said, we're going to cheer for Stone Cold no matter what, for the most part,
right? And that's really what you ended up happening.
McMahon, people are like, it was just dumb that he went with McMahon. It's like, this is stupid because we're going to like him anyway. So this is just dumb that he's with Vince McMahon.
Yeah, it's true. If he wanted to be like a heel, he could have been a heel without Vince McMahon. I mean, he could have just went after whoever the babyface was at the time and just not have to have the association with Vince.
They wanted to make sure. You know, maybe they thought the only way they could get people to hate Stone Cold is if he went with Vince.
Yeah, that's exactly what they thought. So that's why they did it that way. What they did from that point, some of it's good. You know, we're going to get to it, of course. But some of it falls to shit once the invasion angle comes about. So there's good and bad in it, but I agree with them doing it. But yeah, the execution is poor. There is another thing about the heel turn that was brought up. Bruce Pritchard brought it up when he covered WrestleMania 17. And he talked about how the plan was always for Austin to turn heel, but it was also for Triple H to turn babyface the next night on Raw. And it was going to kick off Austin as a heel against Triple H as a babyface.
That wouldn't have worked. That would have been awful.
You think so?
Absolutely.
All right, well, with that said, on the first Raw, the night after WrestleMania, there's going to be an incident with Triple H and Austin. I want your thoughts on what happens there. Definitely, obviously, we're going to talk about it, so you'll share your thoughts next week. But what I'm basically saying is that it looked like it could have been the kickoff to a feud between the two of them, and it's not going to go that way. But I want you to tell me what you think next week when we get to that. So, hell of a show, hell of a match. I don't even think this hampers the match because I like it.
I don't think it does. Me too.
It's a nice little twist. You know, it's WrestleMania. You want something big to happen, something to shake things up, and it left people wondering, like, what the fuck's gonna happen? I gotta watch Raw. It's like it's the season finale, but it's a cliffhanger, and tomorrow's episode one of the next season. You don't have to wait a whole year. Just tune in tomorrow to see where this goes. So that's what we'll be doing next week, is seeing where it goes. But before we move on and we move on to our final Attitude Era update, and I'll explain that in a moment, let's do our skull ratings. JV, what do you have for a skull rating on this match?
Oh, man. Did I give one on the watch along?
I don't think so. I don't think I did either.
All right. So I'm going to go 4 stars.
Okay.
4 skulls.
4 skulls.
Skulls. We're skulls here.
Yeah, 4 skulls. And I'm going to go 4.5. I'll go 4.5.
Okay.
It's tough to go. I was going to go a little higher than 4.5, but it's tough to because everything is going to get compared to Bret Hart versus Austin when we're talking about these matches. And this is just not quite there.
Yeah, and it's not better than the Benoit and Angle match on this Mania card.
That's true, and that's... Yeah, I don't know what I would rate that, but that was up there, shit.
I gave it a 4.5 stars, which we'll get into in our next segment, so...
Yeah. All right, guys, so we're going to take a quick little break, then we'll be back with the wrap with the Attitude Era recap, which will be our WrestleMania 17 review. And take a listen to Talking Taker, and we'll be right back with that.
What's up, Rattlesnakes? This is Alex Dorio, one half of the Talking Taker podcast. And even though Stone Cold might say DTA, don't trust anybody, we hope you'll trust us when we say if you love the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, you'll also enjoy what we're doing over on Talking Taker. Each week, my lifelong wrestling buddy and fellow creature of the night, Mr. Travis White, and I explore one pay-per-view match in the career of the greatest professional wrestling character of all time, The Undertaker. We're right in the heart of the Dead Man's second coming in the late 2000s. We've got over 125 episodes, so you can jump in from the beginning or pick and choose from some of your favorite moments, including every single Undertaker versus Stone Cold Steve Austin match analyzed in detail, including a great crossover episode with our buddies here at the Bottom Line Cast. You can listen to us wherever podcasts are found, and you can follow along our journey at Talking Taker on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks to Mike and JV for letting us plug the show, and take her easy.
We're back now for the Attitude Era update. This is our WrestleMania 17 edition, where we'll be just running through the card, the undercard for WrestleMania 17. And as I said before the break, that this will be our last Attitude Era update or recap. And the reason why is this is what we consider to be really the end of the Attitude Era. WrestleMania 17 kind of wraps up that whole feel of the Attitude Era. The competition is gone at this point. There's no more WCW, no more ECW, and competition is going to begin between themselves. So we're kind of going into a different era at this point. While some may still consider this Attitude Era up until 2002, I really think this is a good point to end Attitude Era. And it's not to say that we won't cover things that happen besides Stone Cold Steve Austin, because I know a lot of you listeners like to hear what else is going on in the WWF at the time. So we will continue to do that just in a little different kind of format. We're not going to touch on every single thing, because that's one thing that I was starting to do, you know, is just follow every storyline where some things weren't really important enough to talk about. So we will cover a good amount of stuff still, and we're going to do it a different format. It's going to be called Good, Bad, and Ugly. So JV and I will go through each of the episodes of Raw, SmackDown that we cover. And we'll both bring up something that was good, something that was bad. And if there's something very ugly, we'll bring up what was very ugly. So that'll be coming starting next week in the second half of our shows. So hope you guys will look forward to that and enjoy that. It's not going to be too different. It's just going to be just different format. So, and we didn't want to call it the Attitude Era update anymore, because we don't think it's the Attitude Era update anymore. We don't think it's the Attitude Era anymore. All right, so there's that. All right, let's get into it now. The first match of WrestleMania 17 was the WWF Intercontinental Championship match between IC Champion Chris Jericho and William Regal. So what the background here basically is that William Regal is pissed off with Chris Jericho because Chris Jericho cost William Regal the European Championship. So now William Regal has a hard-on for Chris Jericho. And Jericho, if somebody's going to mess with Jericho, Jericho's going to mess with them back. So Jericho is just all in on fucking with Regal at this point. He brings up on Raw 407 from March 12th. It's the first time it's used, at least from what I heard. Maybe he's used it in WCW before, but this is the first time I hear it here in WWF, is that he calls Regal an ass clown. And that becomes a term to use very often is ass clown. So the first time I'm hearing it is here. Like I said, I don't recall if he very well could have used it in WCW. Actually, I don't think they swore that much. I don't think they even said ass, really, in WCW. So maybe not. All right, anyway, from there, the next week, in March 19th, Chris Jericho, this is the time that Chris Jericho pisses in William Regal's teapot, and then Regal drinks it, and he's like, ooh, this is kind of tart. And then he realizes that it was pissed in, and that just makes Regal even more pissed at Jericho. Since Regal's the commissioner, he keeps putting Jericho in handicap matches just to fuck with him all along the way. And then here's one cool thing that happens on March 26th, which was the go-home Raw, is that William's in a match with Crash Holly, and then out of nowhere, because they announced the gimmick Battle Royal, there was Doink the Clown in the crowd, entertaining the crowd, just like he did back in 1993 when he first made his debut, or late 92, when he made his debut, just like blowing balloons and shit. So Doink's in the crowd, but during this match, which is right after they show Doink in the crowd, Doink runs into the match, gives a flying elbow to Regal, and then Regal's put into the walls of Jericho, but it's Doink the Clown, and then the wig comes off, and you can see that it's Chris Jericho dressed as Doink the Clown. The fucking cool shit there. And then that brings us now to WrestleMania in the opening match, Chris Jericho versus Regal. JV, what'd you think of this match? You said you watched this one.
Yeah, I thought it was a good opening match to the card. The crowd's actually really into it. I mean, they're hyped. The event's really starting, and they get to see Jericho, who has kind of like a cult-like following in 2001, you know?
Right. Yeah, he's like
the global crowd there, and globally, Jericho's, you know, revered by fans, so.
Right, and even at this point, the internet's already been around for a while at this point. So internet wrestling community, the wrestling internet community, whatever the fuck it's called. They're big supporters of Jericho at this point, too. So he's over. Even though he's not in the main event, you know, that's where a lot of people want him to be, is in the main event. He's been in main events already, but he's back down now mid-card opening the show. So they're all hyped for him. They love him, and they want him.
Yeah. Regal hits a really good double underhook suplex from the top rope towards the end of the match, which is pretty dope. Yep. My only other takeaway is it's funny how, you know, every time you watch a Jericho match from you know, the 2000s and 90s. And you see he's still wrestling today in AEW. You know, it's the evolution of the array of finishers Jericho's had in his career. So he actually wins this match with the Lion Salt.
Yes, he does.
Which is kind of the weakest of all his finishers, in my opinion.
It is, because it's like a transitional move, it seems like.
Yeah, so it's not, you know, weird to see him hit that. I think the match, I would have rated the match, I'm not going to get into ratings on the match, but I think I would have liked it more if he, you know, hit the Lion Tamer or something.
Yeah, I agree too. You needed something like that where Regal's been stretching Jericho whenever he has a chance to. So you would think that he would take the opportunity and make sure that he makes Regal tap, not fucking take a Lion Salt. So
the soft ass moonsault of the team.
Right. It's just a little, it's so soft from the second rope.
When he does it, I'm like, all right, here we go, Lion Tamer.
Yeah, like flip him over. He's not
doing the walls of Jericho yet, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, that's what he is. All right. That's what he did as Doink the week before.
All right.
Yeah, so
but, you know, he has all these finishers. That's why Jericho's great. He's always reinventing himself.
So good shit there to kick off the show. Jericho retains the title in 7 minutes. And we move on to match number two. It's Taz and the APA against the Right to Censor. Good placement in the show. Jericho kicked it off great, because his music really fucking popped the crowd, made it seem like a rock concert, and crowd was excited. So then after that match, they squeezed the shitter in because like it's kind of like a letdown match. Like, ooh, all right, this match can fit right here because nobody really gives a shit about it. But the only thing I take away from this match, and JV, you said you didn't watch it at all because you said, fuck this match, I'm not watching this. But my takeaway is that Bradshaw is being pushed big time here. He's looking like a beast. And it's funny, he uses a couple moves that he never uses before. He does a fall away suplex from the top rope and a reverse slam over the head, which are two moves that are Razor Ramon or Scott Hall moves. And now that Scott Hall is unemployed, Bradshaw stole the moves. And he's using them. That's great. It's kind of like a dig at Scott Hall. It's like, fuck it, I'm taking those moves. Not doing you any good right now. So Bradshaw,
yeah, someone's got to make money with them.
Right. So they look good, too, because Bradshaw is a big guy just like Scott Hall. So Bradshaw then hits a clothesline from hell on the Good Father for the win. And like I said, this is a big-time spot for Bradshaw. It's Bradshaw's hometown that they're in. So this, I don't know. They just give him a little tip to that. Like, here, enjoy. So not great, not bad. Just what it is what it is. Just a tag team match. And then we move on now to the hardcore championship match, a triple threat, Raven versus Kane versus Big Show. And this match was fun. Did you watch this one? You said you watched this one, right?
Yeah, no, this match was really fun. Yeah. Kane's the highlight of the match.
Oh, he's just...
He's the two highlights of the match, all in right, my opinion.
What are they?
When he's chasing down Raven with the security golf cart.
Yep.
Because it's kind of a slow match overall, but they, you know, it has its spots where it picks up. And then the massive leg drop to win the match through the floor at the end.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I like just the fighting backstage. It looks like they had staged rooms backstage.
Yeah, they were. They were like sets.
They looked like it, but who knows with what Bruce Pritchard says. He says they weren't. He says they didn't build those. Those were just there. They built one room, but not all of them. Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they totally looked staged. And the walls were so fucking thin, they were just flying through the walls. So believe what you want, but I believe that they were just made that night right there. Just for this match, they're going through the walls, they're going through the glass, and there's another thing that is talked about often is that Raven has said that he almost shut the power off to the whole building when he slammed into an electrical area with the golf cart.
Oh, jeez.
So that's what he claims, is that, you know, they were going to lose power if that, you know. And that wouldn't have been true because it's a freaking huge arena. They would have had multiple backups and shit. But still funny to think that.
Yeah, someone probably told him that, and he had trust in this guy.
Right. It's like, you could shut the power off. Right. Or it could have just been as simple as, oh, man, you got to fuck the power up. And he just took that as, oh, I would have messed up the whole building.
Yeah. Oh, man, I fucked up. Hey, it worked, though.
Yeah, it's a good story. So anyways, like you said, JV, Kane wins the match. He becomes the new hardcore champion. Fun, silly match. I enjoyed it. And we move on to match number 4, European Championship match, Test versus Eddie Guerrero. Not much to say here other than Saturn comes out wearing a goofy-ass fluffy hat. I believe he begins to wear this fluffy hat. It's kind of like a Kangol hat, but it's all fluffy. You know what I mean? It's one of those big top hats. It's kind of like Jermiroquai.
Yeah, what Buff Bagwell wears.
Yeah, Buff Bagwell wears that shit too. So anyway, Saturn's wearing a hat. Hey, maybe that's Saturn saying, hey, Bagwell, now I'm doing your gimmick since you don't have a job.
Everyone's just taking their gimmicks.
So Saturn comes out, and he also, not only that, oh, he's definitely doing a rib then, because he has the hat, but then he also has the Hulk Hogan handlebar mustache, and it's blonde. Saturn's fucking with those guys. That's awesome.
Vince told them to do it.
And even JR makes a comment about the hat. They didn't even realize who it was at first. So anyway, Eddie Guerrero is going to win the match. He actually makes Tess look good, of course, because it's Eddie Guerrero. He can make anybody look good. So Tess hits a Tilt-A-Whirl Slam. Tilt-A-Whirl Slam into a powerbomb. Eddie makes it so good by taking the bumps. Eddie's going to kick out a pump handle slam, win the match. After Dean Malenko causes distraction and Eddie hits Tess with the European Championship belt. And there it is. Eddie wins the European Championship. Maybe that title will mean something now with Eddie Guerrero wearing it. We'll see how things go with that. And then we get to one of arguably the best match of the night, right up there with probably better than the Austin Rock match. That's Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit. So, JV, you like this match. What do you got to say about it?
Yeah, I think this was the best match on the card. And that doesn't take anything away from the main event. Even before the match, it's kind of cool. I don't know if it's right before the match, but Angle's basically studying Benoit tapes and like obsessively, you know, trying to justify and convince the people and himself that he actually didn't tap out
right.
the week prior when Benoit threw him in the crossface. So yeah, he's just delusional at this point, and it's just good because it's goes to show you the dedication that Angle has, and it shows his real like heel turn and how his character's changing since his championship run. Yeah. What's weird though is when he comes out, you hear his song. So every time I hear his song now, even though the crony doing it, I still like place the "you suck" chants there.
Right, it's so hard not to now at this point.
Yeah, and he has his mic and comes down with the promo. To start off, pretty much taking shots at the Texas flag because it's that one star, the lone star. And he says, "Oh, your flag's missing 49 stars." You know.
Yeah.
The match itself was great. It just seemed like it was a way for it was a way for WWE to get Benoit over and keep Angle strong, which is exactly what this match does. I mean, starts off mat wrestling, which the crowd respects. Then it transitions into more of like a brawl / suplex style. Most of the matches in the ring, I noticed, there isn't really much outside. So it's like a true match in the ring. I guess before we hear your take on it, I don't know if you caught this, but Heyman during commentary calls Benoit an undefeated champion.
Right. He brings up.
Yeah, because WCW. Of his. I was like, oh, nice fucking play on a situation. That's one of those things where you hear it, you're like, wow, he's undefeated champion, but you don't know the details.
Right, because he left and he was the champ.
Yeah, he never defended it. He beat Sid and then left the next day.
Right. Yeah, it's awesome. And they bring it up. They bring up, and throughout commentary, they bring up former ECW champions and former WCW champions.
Yeah.
And I guess the reason behind it, according to like what's said and what Vince McMahon said, basically, is that, well, we own them now. So now we can use the stories to increase our stories. You know, if it helps to say somebody who's a champion, then use it. You know, because now we are WCW, we are ECW, they are us.
Yeah.
So that's cool how they did that. And I always like that too, because it's like, what do you think? We don't know that there's other wrestlers and other promotions out there.
Yeah, they just expect you to like forget about them.
Right.
Don't acknowledge them here. Leave them at the door.
Right. So now they can acknowledge them because it's theirs. one thing before I get into what I liked about the match and kind of wrap up the match is that when Angle was walking out, like you said, he talked about the flag. I like his comment about the cowboy hats.
He says, I forget what that was.
Oh, he tells the crowd, he's like, "And those cowboy hats, come on, lose it, get over it." He said, "You're not 7 years old anymore."
That's awesome.
Like cowboy hats are just meant for kids. Or something. And it's great because it's like shows him as having no clue about the culture, just like thinking like a Northeasterner like us, like, ah, stupid cowboy hats, why are you wearing that? Yeah. All right, so all the shit you said, great shit there. You know, back and forth, mat wrestling, all that. The way the match is going to wrap up, though, is that you're going to have the ref get knocked out. Angle's going to tap to the crossface. And then Angle's going to hit the angle slam after he gets out of the crossface. And this is the first time it's called the angle slam. It's been the Olympic slam all the way up to this point. But JR mistakenly calls it the angle slam. And then he corrects himself and calls it Angle's Olympic slam. But then Paul Heyman just goes with it and calls it the angle slam, too. And then it's also reported in the Wrestling Observer, Meltzer calls it, it looks like it's now called the Angle Slam. And then from that point on, it's Angle Slam. And they just do away with Olympic Slam. So it may have just been a happy accident that it became named the Angle Slam because of JR and then Heyman and then Dave Meltzer all using it within that week. So there's one thing there. Benoit is going to kick out on two after the Angle Slam. Angle gets kneed while attempting a moonsault. So he does that moonsault, but Benoit gets the knees up. Benoit hits the headbutt. Angle kicks out. Benoit can't believe it. Angle low blows Benoit. The referee does nothing. Doesn't even see. He's right there, but doesn't do anything about it. Benoit gets rolled up. Angle grabs the tights, wins the match. I like that. I like how it just ends like that. Roll up, win the match, 1, 2, 3. Cheat, obviously, like a heel. And the funny thing about this match, too, is that Chris Benoit was supposed to be a heel. He turned on Eddie Guerrero, and he was supposed to be the one that's the heel. But Eddie Guerrero ended up being the heel still, and Chris Benoit just turned into a babyface because he's put into this match with Angle, and Angle is still the heel. So they don't know what the hell they want to do with Benoit, but both of these guys are going to get a big push after this pay-per-view. This is just the beginning of their rivalry. I was thinking throughout the match, and you know, to the build-up to this, is that how come this match is not a submission match? You know, the whole thing is about, oh, I'm going to make you tap out, and oh, I didn't tap out, and oh, your little stupid cross-face thing that you put your hand on somebody's nose, that move, like Angle's making fun of the grip of cross-face. You think that at WrestleMania, be like, all right, it's a submission match. Somebody's going to tap out.
But I think the issue why you don't see people tap either is it's rare you actually see someone tap nowadays.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, now.
Without there being like some kind of like, I don't know. That's the problem with the submission move is if you tap, you're just considered like very weak.
Right, you're giving up.
Ah, you gave up, you know?
Right. You should just do what Austin did and pass out. Anyway, so they'll be... So I was thinking that it should have been a submission match, but that's where they're going to be going from this point. Now that they had this match, Benoit's going to feel like he's screwed, and then they'll have the submission match coming up at the next pay-per-view. So, hell of a match, fast pace. The finish did come a little quickly based on how great everything was, but still enjoyed it nonetheless. Moments later, backstage, Kurt Angle says he doesn't have to respect Chris Benoit, and he doesn't even acknowledge that he cheated, of course, like a heel does, but... Right after that, as he's finishing up what he has to say, Benoit attacks Kurt Angle backstage and puts a crossface on him, and Angle taps to it. So, great shit there. One of the highlights of the show. We move on now, real briefly here. Ivory defeats China in the Women's Championship match. She becomes the Women's Champion. And who the fuck cares, basically? I care less about this. This is basically an intermission match because... The Angle Benoit match was great. It was the fifth match on the show, so most people were probably in their seats all the way up until that match. So this is great placement for Ivory versus China because it gives everybody a chance to get up, go piss, get some food, go back to their seats for the second half of the show. So they used to do intermissions, you know, back in the day, but they don't do them anymore. So matches have to become default intermissions. So they chose Ivory versus China to be that intermission. And then we get to the rest of the card. And from this point, this pay-per-view is just on fire. There's not a bad spot. And even the next break spot, the next intermission spot, I enjoyed that. And that's the gimmick battle royal. But the next match that comes up after China is the street fight, McMahon versus Shane McMahon. Basic background in this is that Shane McMahon returns. He's pissed off that Vince has been treating his mother like shit and got her in a sanitarium. She's all drugged up, and he's banging Trish, who's the same age as his sister, Stephanie. So he doesn't like any of that shit, so he challenges Vince to a match at WrestleMania. He says, if you got the grapefruits, come out here and sign this contract. So Vince says it. He has Triple H pedigree Shane. Vince gets in Shane's face, says, I'll never forgive your mother for giving birth to you. That's pretty intense there. and then the very next time, the next show, which was Raw from March 26th, Shane pulls the rug from out under from Vince and ends up making the deal to buy WCW, where Vince thought he was going to get it. He said he hadn't signed the papers yet, but Shane did sign the papers. Vince said he was going to wait because he was going to have Ted Turner deliver the contract to him at WrestleMania. But Shane swooped in there and signed the contract himself and bought it. So Vince is all dicked off about that. Mick Foley returns. Mick Foley says that he made a deal with Linda back in around Christmas time when he got right before he got fired from Vince that he will have the right to be a special guest referee at any match at WrestleMania, and he's going to choose the Vince versus Shane match. So now we get to the match. Street fight, Mr. McMahon versus Shane McMahon. special ref Mick Foley, JV. What did you think of this match?
It was entertaining. I mean, it's kind of everything you expect it to see. It's grueling. It's overly animated with the way Vince sells. Most underrated part is the fact that Linda's just like sitting in the ring as like a zombie the whole time.
Yeah, right outside
and then
the
just
ring.
Like, yeah, then she gets put in like the ring in a chair. And yeah. She's just watching it. It's actually pretty good acting, or she's just really that boring of a person. And then she, you know, she kicks Vince McMahon in the balls, and it was all right. I mean,
that's great. Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun match. It's a McMahon family affair, basically. So you have all of them involved in it, and this is at the point, you know, for the past couple of years, it's been a McMahon story. So we're not getting away from it. It's not going away even at this point, 20 years later. So this is just the beginning of it. And Shane McMahon, underrated as a talent. I think he's starting to get more respect more and more now. Just going back, many people are going back and seeing his clips since he's made his return. All right, so Shane McMahon, he even hits the coast to coast for the first time when he sets up the trash can in the corner for Vince. And then nails him, and that's a cool spot, and definitely the spot where you're saying where Linda just gets up. The crowd freaking goes crazy when Linda stands up and kicks him in the nuts. So that's cool, and you know, it is what it is. It's just a fun match, fun McMahon match. Doesn't really have much to do with anything else, just that Shane McMahon is got one over on his dad and stood up for his mother, and it's a nice little spot there. Also, Trish reveals that she was fucking with Vince the entire time, even after getting on all fours and barking like a dog. She was just doing that to get close to Vince to screw him one last time. And she's the one that made sure that Linda wasn't on drugs so that she could kick him in the nuts. So, cool shit there. Trish is now big time babyface. That brings us now to the TLC 2 match. Dudley Boyz versus Edge and Christian versus the Hardy Boyz. I mean, this is a match that most people are familiar with, and if you're not familiar with it, you need to go watch it. Hell of a match. Leading up to this, Edge and Christian beat the Hardy Boyz for the tag team titles. The Dudley Boyz then defeat Edge and Christian in the same night to become tag team champions. So you have that going on. And the reason why those titles switched is because you had the debuts of Rhino in one match to help out Edge and Christian win the titles. And then Spike Dudley makes his debut to help the Dudley Boyz beat Edge and Christian. And then from there, we move on to the WrestleMania match. And just crazy. It's like a car crash. There's just so much shit going on in this match. And it's just fun. It's spectacular. It's power bombs. It's climbing up ladders, smacking each other with tables. And the chairs actually stay out of the match for much of the match. Chairs aren't really involved. It's mostly just tables and ladders. And you got the giant 20-foot ladder, you know, 20-foot ladders in this match. A bunch of crazy shit. Spike Dudley, Rhino involved, Lita's involved. And you have those iconic spots, of course. You have Edge climbing up the 20-foot ladder. And Jeff is hanging there as he's trying to get the belts. Bubba Ray moves the ladder away so that Jeff is just dangling there. And then Edge jumps off and hits a spear, bringing Jeff Hardy right down to the mat. Hell of a spot. Yeah, but remember, JV and I, we talked about this spot over a year ago because it was done before. It just was done on Raw, and it wasn't memorable. But now that it's on WrestleMania, it's iconic because that's what it takes. Something happens at WrestleMania like that, forget about if it happened before or after. Now,
yeah,
that
WrestleMania takes the cake, that's takes right. The memory.
Yep,
owns it now.
Hell yeah. And then there's another spot right after that. Rhino pushes. Rhino's in the ring. Bubba and Matt are on one ladder in the ring. There's four tables set up outside the ring that the Dudley Boyz set up early in the match. Rhino just takes it and pushes the ladder over. Bubba and Matt go flying through the four tables, crashing like two stories of tables. Fucking awesome. then the finish is Rhino carrying Christian up the ladder on his shoulders, and Christian grabs the titles and wins. So Edge and Christian become 7-time tag team champions. And of all these matches, the triangle match with these three teams, the first TLC, and now the second TLC, Edge and Christian won them all. Every single match. Cool shit there. So, of those three teams, Edge and Christian probably go down as the best, I would say. Dudley Boy's not close.
I think it's definitely behind. Yeah, I think Edge and Christian were just more of the total package, too.
Yeah.
They could do it in the ring and on the mic. I mean, the Hardys were the Hardys, you know?
Yeah, they didn't have mic skills, but
they're great, you know what I mean?
But, right, they had the crowd on their side no matter what.
Yep.
And Dudley Boys, Dudley Boys. They're good. Nothing against them. They're good, though. All right, and we move on now to the Gimmick Battle Royal. Just one thing that was funny before even the match started is that you have backstage in Regal's office, Kamala is in there. He's just making a mess of the room, slapping his belly. And you see Paul Heyman after that segment shaking his head about the Gimmick Battle Royal. And JR says, oh, I'm surprised, Paul, that you're not in this match. And then Paul responds, oh, yeah, what am I going to do, bring my telephone in the ring?
That's funny.
So then we get to this Gimmick Battle Royal, and you have all these people from the 80s and the 90s. So some legit superstars, but then a lot of people that were just shitty gimmicks, like the Goon. Yeah, so it's a mix of good and bad. But the best part about this match is that Mean Gene Okerlund and Bobby Heenan do special guest commentary. And they look great. They sound great still. They didn't mess up much, but Bobby does call Gene Tony. The first time he tries to refer to Gene. And this is just coming off of being with WCW, where Bobby was working with Tony Schiavone. So he's still used to saying Tony. So that was funny. Hmm. And Gene calls him out. He's like, are you playing a joke on me? And Bobby just plays it off as like, yeah, I guess so. So the Iron Sheik is making his way to the ring, and Bobby Heenan has a funny joke. He says, by the time the Iron Sheik gets to the ring, it'll be WrestleMania 38, which is not too far from now. So JR and Paul Heyman, they actually get a piss break during this because Bobby Heenan and Gene take over the commentary. And you usually don't see that on these shows where these guys have a chance to leave and get out of there, take a piss after being out there for so long. So anyways, Iron Sheik's going to win the match. That's what Bobby Heenan predicted. And just fun. Just fun thing in general. It's fun to go back and watch. If you're a younger fan, then watching that might mean nothing to you. But if you grew up the time that JV and I did, it's definitely fun to watch with some of these funny characters coming out there. All right, so I did notice after this match, something happened. It's extremely edited. It's heavily edited. It just goes from you seeing Iron Sheik and Sergeant Slaughter in the ring, and it goes right to the next match, and everybody's out of the ring already. So, all right, so now we move on to the last match that we'll cover, because this is the match right before the main event. It's Undertaker versus Triple H, and this had a nice build to it. This was probably the coolest that I've seen the Undertaker as a badass, as the American badass up to this point. And Triple H attacks the Undertaker backstage back in early March, March 12th, while he's getting ready to ride his bike. He pushes, he attacks Taker.
His bike. I just thought like a bicycle. Yeah. Oh, he's taking his bicycle out.
like Pee Wee Herman. Yeah. Oh, like he's Debo. It's my bike now. So Taker ends up under the bike and he needs help and whatnot. So Kane helps him out. And this is what leads to the Kane Big Show feud that we talked about a little earlier with the hardcore match. On the SmackDown that comes after that Raw on March 15th, Triple H arrives and he's in his limo. Taker goes up, smashes the window. Triple H gets out and the cops arrive. The cops arrest the Undertaker, read him his Miranda rights, and then Triple H takes a cheap shot at him while he's in handcuffs. Later on the next Raw, Steven Regal is going to tell the Undertaker that a restraining order has been put on Stephanie McMahon. So not Triple H, but on Stephanie McMahon. So wherever Triple H is, Stephanie is usually going to be. So that's the catch there. So there's going to be this cool segment where Triple H and Steph are in the ring, but Kane's going to go out there and scare off Stephanie so that Triple H is left alone, and then Undertaker goes and kicks the shit out of Triple H. Because Stephanie's not around, so he's not breaking his restraining order. Well, you have all that shit, so that's kind of the gist of what's going on there. Triple H is going to destroy Undertaker's bike with a sledgehammer and throw it off the ramp. And that basically leads to the match. But just prior to that, actually, there was one other cool thing is that Taker says, oh, I talked to my lawyers and the bail bondsman. You know, if I break this restraining order, I'll be out of jail in 12 hours. So screw it. He beats up Triple H and goes to jail. He doesn't care. This is going to be out in 12 hours anyway. He'll be out in time for WrestleMania. So we go on to WrestleMania. And you have this brawl. It's a big-ass brawl. It's the first time, actually, that they mention that The Undertaker is undefeated at WrestleMania. He's 8-0 at this point. And now you have some good action in the ring, but much of it is going to end up being outside of the ring for a big chunk of time. They fight into the crowd. They're going to fight to a like production area like where the hard camera is set up and where the sound booths are. So if you ever go into a wrestling show, you see, if you look down, they have a little section where they're doing all the music and the audio and shit. So they fight over to that area, which is propped up with different types of staging, basically. So they fight their way over there. There's a spot of the staging that doesn't have any equipment, so they're not going to fuck anything up. And there's just a couple of steel chairs there. So obviously that was meant for them to go to. So they go there, and Undertaker throws Triple H off of it, and it looks great initially with the shot that they show because you can't see where he goes, so it just looks like he falls from so high up. But then they show a replay, and they fucked up with the replay because when they show the replay, they see you can see Triple H land on like a soft mat. Like, oh. And then what made it even worse is moments later, Undertaker's going to jump off the staging and do an elbow drop, and the camera's getting it, and you just see Undertaker elbow drop him onto this like mattress, it looks like. So this big cushion. So that kind of takes the mystique away from it being so dangerous and whatnot. But they go back to the ring at that point, and the finish is pretty cool. The sledgehammer is in play. Undertaker gets busted open with the sledgehammer. And the thing with this is that this sledgehammer was a fake sledgehammer, and Triple H had said that he had always been using a real one and just being safe with it, whatever, you know. But this time they wanted to use a fake one, and the fake one ended up really injuring Undertaker. He really got busted open and really, you know, gave him like a concussion, basically. So it was a rubber tip, and it was still wood, but not fucking metal, obviously. So there was that, and Mike Chioda's the referee. He gets knocked down. Taker's going to chokeslam Triple H. Triple H kicks out on two. Taker then beats up the ref. So you have that spot, and then we get to the point now where they're back in the ring after doing all that hoopla in the crowd. They finally get back. They have the sledgehammer. He nails Taker with it, like I said, in the head. And this is when that spot happens when Taker is putting Triple H into the last ride. So he's lifting Triple H up. Triple H grabs the sledgehammer at the same time he's being lifted up to be in the last ride. And as he's on Taker's shoulders, he takes the sledgehammer, and that's when he pops him in the head with it. And it looks like Triple H is going to get the win here, but Taker kicks out on two after the ref finally gets back up. And Taker, like I said, is busted open here. Triple H works on the wound in the corner of the ring. So he's on the second turnbuckle, punching on Undertaker's head. But Undertaker just grabs him, lifts him up, does the last ride, gets the 1-2-3. Undertaker becomes 9-0 at WrestleMania. Hell of a match. Hell of a WrestleMania. Nothing left to say about that. Great show. Yeah, JB, I don't got any final words with it. That kind of wraps things up. We both agree, you know, Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit, best match of that undercard, and maybe, you know, you think it's even better than the main event. It's definitely a better match than the main event, but the main event is, you know, the main event, and it was well worth its spot as a main event.
So, yeah. So, and that's our coverage of WrestleMania 17. You want to hear more? Check out the watch along.
That's right. So this Saturday will be the watch along. That should be up in the morning. And listen to what we have to say about that match. All right, so we're going to do our bottom line wrap-up now. And there's no house shows? What's your oh hell yeah moment of the week, JV?
Oh, hell yeah!
Well, I can count WrestleMania 17, right?
So, there you go.
Yeah, main event.
WrestleMania, yeah, the main event, WrestleMania. Yeah, I'll go with that. The main event, Stone Cold Steve Austin winning the title. We're doing a show about Stone Cold Steve Austin. If he wins the title, that's got to be oh hell yeah. So that'll be it for me. Austin winning the WWF Championship. Now for oh hell no.
Oh hell no.
The waste of time on WrestleMania 17 of China and Tori match.
Yeah, the bathroom break. Yeah, that's pretty shitty. Yeah, I don't want to go back to Deborah because they did find a way to get rid of her. So
yeah,
I can't put it on Deborah this time. But I don't want to take the same one as you. So I'm gonna go with shit, man. That's the worst thing. Yeah, I gotta go with that too. Ivory versus China just sucks. I mean, it's for the spot that it is, great, but it sucks. It's oh hell no. Don't want to see China come back and act like she's a badass, so oh hell no. All right, so let's move on to what's upcoming here on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. We do have our July monthly bonus special coming out soon with Jay Free, where we'll be doing some fantasy booking, fantasy matches, and also revisiting the Hall of Fame. That'll be coming up soon within the next couple weeks, sometime in July. And then this Saturday, as we've been saying, is our watch along. So check that out. Austin versus The Rock. Get our reactions and, you know, a lot of stuff that we didn't talk about on this show, we talk about in the watch along. So check it out for some additional commentary there. And then next week, we'll be kicking off the next part of Austin's career as a heel with episode 80. And that will be covering Raw from April 2nd, SmackDown from April 5th, Raw from April 9th, SmackDown from April 12th. So check that out next week on July 25th. All right, so before we get out of here, let's give some plugs to our podcast pals like Talking Taker, where Alex and Travis are covering the career of The Undertaker, and this week is Survivor Series 2009. It's a triple threat match, The Undertaker versus The Big Show versus Chris Jericho. Also want to give a shout out to Book in the Territory, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, where they are covering NWA World Championship Wrestling from March 4th, 1989. They cover WCW, well, NWA WCW every Thursday. So check them out. It's Book in the Territory, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. Also check out our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, where this week, released on Mondays, they released episode 184 and in their opening segment, Up and Comers. They talk about up and comers that didn't come. And that is Van Hammer. So they talk about him. And also it's week two of the Royal Flush of the Worst Wrestling Talkers. And this week, the two names that were drawn for them to rank are Ahmed Johnson and Sid. Then also they will review a wrestling show. And that show is Continental Championship Wrestling from July 26, 1986. So check them out. It's our Vantage Point. Also, Jay Free, Free Your Geek, has a new episode out this week. It's episode 91, and he's joined by his friend Casey Lynn, also known as ex-Mrs. Black Mamba. And she's on the show to talk about her love for all things fantasy, and that is Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones. She talks about video games, like Call of Duty, and she just started live streaming on Twitch, so check that out. And also, Jay Free is going to talk about the at-home San Diego Comic-Con that begins on July 22nd. So check out Free Your Geek, episode 91. And also check out JV and I on the Extreme ECW Livecast, where we are covering this week Hardcore TV episodes 57 and 58 from May 17th, May 24th, 1994. Those are our pals. Check them out. And also thanks for checking us out. Check us out again on Saturday. Thanks, guys, for being part of this WrestleMania special here and our coverage of this great big match. We'll be back next week. JV, you have no final words?
No.
So we are heading on out of here. See you next week. So long.
And that's the bottom line. And as far as I'm concerned, this is over with, so get the hell out of here.
You're special, you do. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it when you laugh at me. Look down on me and walk around on me. Just one more fight about your leadership. Then I will straight up.
Check out my melody.